Hey, podcast listeners. Thanks for streaming today's podcast from Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory is a nonprofit ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress. Our mission is to pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word through the most effective media available, like this podcast. To support Pathway to Victory, go to ptv.org/donate or follow the link in our show notes. Now, here's today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffress, and I'm glad to study God's Word with you every day on this Bible teaching program. On today's edition of Pathway to Victory,
if the Lord were to return today, or if you were to meet Him in death, would you be ashamed of your spiritual appearance, of the appearance of your life right now? If so, I pray these next weeks as we study Bible prophecy, that this series will be a motivation for you to start clothing yourselves and holy conduct as we prepare for the soon and certain return of Christ.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with author and pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. It's impossible to know what the next 24 hours will look like, but gratefully, God has given us a sneak preview of the future. In fact, the Bible contains revealing information about the end times. And today on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains why it's important for Christians to become students of biblical prophecy. Now, here's our Bible teacher to introduce today's message. Dr. Jeffress?
Thanks, David, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. I believe you'll be very pleased to learn that beginning today, I'll be addressing one of the most highly requested topics on Pathway to Victory. My teaching series is called Perfect Ending, and it deals with the fascinating topic of biblical prophecy. In this study, I'm intent on helping you grasp not only the key elements of Christ's return, but more importantly, why His return matters to you right now. So, as a guide, I'll set aside three exclusive resources for you. The first is a best-selling book I've written for you called Perfect Ending: Why Your Eternal Future Matters Today. In my book, I'll go into greater detail on topics such as the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second, my book is paired with a companion book called The End Times Illustrated. This contains 18 infographics and charts. Each chart includes a convenient page number so that you can reference the correlated teaching from my book, Perfect Ending. And third, I'm going to send you the very popular Bible prophecy chart. I've developed this simple tool to help you better understand the end times and events like the rapture, the millennium, and the second coming, and how all of these events will occur and in what sequence they will occur. Three resources can be yours: my best-selling book, Perfect Ending, the End Times Illustrated book, and my Bible prophecy chart. All three of these resources are yours when you give a generous gift to support the growing ministry of Pathway to Victory. Now, it's time to get started. I titled the first study in the Perfect Ending series, Why Your Eternal Future Matters Today.
Perhaps you are familiar with the novel Futility by author Morgan Robertson. The book tells the story of a magnificent ocean liner named the Titan that strikes an iceberg in the middle of the Atlantic and sinks. Now, you may think, well, that certainly sounds like the real story of the Titanic. But the novel Futility and the fictional ship Titan is different from the Titanic in several ways. The Titan, the fictional book, boat is 1,800 feet long, while the real Titanic was 1,882 feet long. The Titan was able to displace 66,000 tons of water, while the real Titanic was able to displace 70,000 tons of water. And yet both the Titan, the fictional ship, and the Titanic were triple-screw ocean liners. They both traveled 25 knots per hour, and they both carried 3,000 passengers. Now, you may wonder, why did Morgan Robertson bother to write a novel that so closely approximated the real account of the Titanic? And why would he go to the trouble of just changing minor details, including the name of the ship from Titanic to Titan? Why do that? Well, the answer is very clear. The real ship, the Titanic, sunk on April the 14th, 1912. The novel Futility about the fictional ship, the Titan, was published in 1898, 14 years before the real event of the Titanic. It's amazing to think that a book could so closely approximate a real-life event, that a book written more than a decade earlier could tell with laser-like accuracy what would happen in the future. And yet the truth is, the Bible is filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of prophecies about future events. Some of those events have already come to pass, hundreds of them, but there are many more that are yet to come. You know, the Bible is a book of prophecy. And yet, even though there are all kinds of prophecies in the Bible about the future event of Christ's second coming, it's always amazing to me how few Christians are really interested in the topic of Bible prophecy. You may be one of those Christians. As I've talked to laymen and pastors alike, I've discovered that there are four reasons that people object to the study of Bible prophecy. I'd like us to look at that today as we begin the series and see what the Bible says about each of those objections. First of all, some people are apathetic about Bible prophecy because they say, well, the subject is too confusing to understand. You may be one of those Christians as well. A lot of Christians think that you have to have a seminary degree or at least possess some expertise in reading tea leaves in order to understand the truth of Bible prophecy. I have a friend who pastors one of our largest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. You know the church very well. And a few years ago, he said to me, Robert, I wish you would write a simple book on Bible prophecy so that people like me could understand it. Now, here is a smart guy. He has a PhD from a respected seminary, and yet he doesn't feel equipped to understand Bible prophecy himself, much less teach it to his thousands and thousands of members. A lot of Christians feel that way. I have a friend who isn't particularly interested in prophecy, and he always says to me, Robert, if God meant for us to understand Bible prophecy, he would have made it more clear in the Bible. Well, the fact is, God has made the end time events very clear in the Bible. Let me give you an illustration of that. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. This passage, Matthew 24 and 25, is what we call the Olivet Discourse. Now, the reason we call it that is it's Jesus' teaching that occurred on the Mount of Olives. Now, you remember the significance of the Mount of Olives. It was from that mountain that shortly after Jesus spoke these words, 40 days after his resurrection, he would ascend into heaven. It's also on this spot, the Mount of Olives, that the Lord Jesus Christ will return at his second coming, visible for all to see. And if you've had the privilege of standing there before, it is a magnificent view. You can stand there and you look across the Kidron Valley and you see the great Temple Mount and the temple complex. Now, here's the setting for Matthew 24. Jesus and his disciples were at the temple. They were walking out of the temple when Jesus said in a matter-of-fact way, by the way, one day this massive temple is going to be leveled and no stone will stand. Now, just imagine as you walked out of church today, somebody said to you, you know, this beautiful new First Baptist Church of Dallas, did you know one day every brick in this place is going to be leveled and it will be no more? Wouldn't that kind of arouse your curiosity? It did the disciples. They left the temple with Jesus. They crossed the Kidron Valley, and they went up to the Mount of Olives. And when they had Jesus alone privately, look at what they said to him. Verse 20, chapter 24, verse 3. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? That is the destruction of the temple. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, we know from history that about 30 years, 40 years after this happened, 70 AD, Titus, the Roman conqueror, came and he leveled Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. So is that what they were talking about? Is that what Jesus was talking about? No, because they link their question to the return of Jesus Christ and the end of the age. Notice they said in verse 3, Lord, tell us when these things will be, the destruction of the temple and the sign of your coming and the end of the age. They wanted to know the details about the return of Jesus Christ. Now, how did Jesus respond to their question? Notice what he didn't say to them in response to their question. He didn't say to them, "Now, boys, this subject of prophecy is too complicated for you to understand, especially you, Peter, you'll never get it." Or he didn't say to them, "Well, you know what? Don't worry about the end time events. Everything will pan out in the end." He didn't say to them, "You don't need to study eschatology. That's unimportant. What you need to do is concentrate on building your relationship with God and sharing the gospel with as many people as possible. Don't worry about the end time events." He could have said that very clearly, couldn't he? When he was asked about the second coming. But Jesus didn't respond in any of those ways. Instead, he gave a very clear outline of the events that would precede and follow his return. Look at Matthew 24, beginning with verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars.'" Does that sound familiar? "You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end." Verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Verse 29, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." In a couple of weeks, we'll see that this gives us a great outline of what's going to happen at the end. The details about the tribulation, followed by the second coming, the millennial kingdom, and the judgments that follow afterwards. It's not that hard to understand the events that will lead to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself made it very clear to us. Secondly, some people object to the study of Bible prophecy because they say no one can know when Christ will return. Nobody can know that. Now, let's be honest. There are many so-called Bible prophecy experts who have turned people off to the study of the end times by making false, inaccurate predictions about when the end will come. You know many of those people. Sometimes they admit it themselves. They say, "Now, I know the Bible says we're not supposed to set a time. However," and then they proceed to do that. No, the Bible is very clear. No one knows the when of the second coming of Christ. For example, consider the Old Testament prophet Daniel. No one received a greater revelation of end time events than the prophet Daniel. Yet in Daniel 12, verse 9, we read these words, "And he, the angel of the Lord, said to Daniel, 'Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time.'" Or the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul understood many of the end time events. Although he doesn't say so specifically, I think as you read between the lines of Paul's words, he expected the Lord to return in his lifetime. And yet, Paul also knew that the time of Christ's return was unknown. It was a secret. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." Or consider Jesus Christ himself. Even though he was the Son of God, equal to God, he confessed he didn't know the time of his return. In Matthew 24, verse 36, the Lord said, "But of that day, hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." You may be wondering, how is it Jesus, equal to God, didn't know when he was going to return? Well, that's another sermon somewhere along the line. But what I want you to see here is simply this. If Daniel, if Paul, if even Jesus himself refused to set the date of the Lord's return, who are we to think that we would know when the Lord is going to return? And yet, even though we're told over and over again not to set dates, not to try to calculate when the Lord is going to return, people do it all the time. People in every age have believed that they would know when the end would come. For example, Christopher Columbus thought that the world would end in 1656. I came across this quote from Columbus. "There are but 155 years left, at which time the world will come to an end." Or the psychic, Edgar Cayce, who lived from 1877 to 1945. He predicted that the second coming of Jesus would occur in the year 2000. In more recent years, we're all familiar with radio preacher Harold Camping, who predicted four different times when the rapture would occur, all erroneously. You would think after four failed predictions, he would hang up his prophet's hat, but he didn't do it. Again, he made headlines when he predicted that the rapture would occur on May 21st, 2011, and the world would come to an end on October 21st, 2011. Remember what he did? Spent millions of dollars putting up billboards around America about Judgment Day coming. It didn't happen. He ended up going bankrupt. After five failed prophecies, Harold Camping said, "I believe my predictions were off a little. I need to go back and recalculate." As my daughters used to say, "Thank you, Captain Obvious." The most recent occurrence, of course, was in 2012. Remember the Mayan madness over the end of the Mayan calendar? It was during that Mayan madness that I wrote an article for CNN.com about doomsday predictions. And I made the point in that article that the problem with all of these false predictions about the end of the world is they keep people from making the necessary preparations when the real end does come. It's like the boy who cried wolf so many times that the villagers failed to make the necessary preparation when the wolf actually came. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, the end is coming. God hasn't told us when that's going to happen for good reason. Just as every teacher knows how unfocused her students are the last week before school lets out, God knows if we knew when our end was coming, it'd be very difficult for us to focus on the commandments he's given us to fulfill. That's why God doesn't show us his calendar. Instead, God tells us to concentrate on the assignment that he's given us. You may say, well, if I don't know when this is going to happen, why do I need to know the what's of Bible prophecy? Well, the fact is, sometimes knowing what is going to happen is important, even if you don't know when it's going to occur. A few years ago, I landed at Los Angeles International Airport. It was late at night, and I needed to catch a shuttle to my hotel, so I called the shuttle service. And they told me that the van would be along in a few minutes. I said, do you know when? They said, we can't tell you when it's going to come, but here's what to look for. Look for a blue Skylark van that has the words Wilshire on it, and that's the van you need to get on. So I went out to the loading ramp, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. I saw red vans. I saw orange vans. I saw white vans. But if I had gotten on any of those vans, I would have been taken to the wrong destination. Eventually, I saw the right van come along, and I got on and ended up at my hotel. Jesus said that throughout history, there would be many false Christs who would predict, I am the one. And many will follow him and end up in the wrong destination. The Bible says, here is what's going to happen. Here's how it's going to happen. I'm not going to tell you when, but here's what to look for. And if we understand what to look for, we'll end up in the right destination. Number three, some people object to Bible prophecy because they say, well, there are too many different interpretations of prophecy for it to be that important. After all, so many good Christian scholars disagree on Bible prophecy. It just can't be that important. But the fact that there are a lot of different interpretations, and by the way, what theological subject do you know of that there aren't a lot of different interpretations for? Just because there are a lot of different opinions about Bible prophecy doesn't mean there's not one correct interpretation. Now, some of you cringe when I say that. One correct interpretation? Pastor, are you saying there's only one correct interpretation of Scripture? Absolutely. You see, we live in an age that has a disdain for absolute truth. We live in an age that says, well, everybody is free to interpret the Bible however he wants. Well, yes and no. We certainly are free to interpret the Bible however we want. We're also free to be wrong. You see, the Bible says there really is only one correct interpretation of God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, look what Peter said. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Pretty interesting, isn't it? For no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will, but men moved, literally carried along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Now, it's true. Many of the details, secondary details of Bible prophecy are up for debate. But God has clearly stated an outline of the end time events that we need to understand. Fourthly, and perhaps most importantly, a lot of people object to the idea of studying Bible prophecy because they say Bible prophecy has nothing to do with my everyday life. Bible prophecy has nothing to do with my everyday life. Admittedly, most Christians are not nearly concerned about the future beast in Revelation 13 as they are with the beast they work for Monday through Friday. Most people don't feel like they need to understand all the details about some coming future tribulation when they have enough problems in their life today. So many people make the idea, well, I just don't need to understand Bible prophecy because the future has nothing to do with my everyday life. Nothing could be further from the truth. What happens in the future does have a profound impact on how we live today. Let me illustrate that for you. During the time, the 15 years we were living in Wichita Falls, during that time, the Texas Highway Department made an announcement that they were going to build a double-deck expressway right through the center of downtown Wichita Falls. They didn't tell when that project would begin. They just said it was coming. As soon as that announcement was made, businesses along the path of the proposed expressway, they started selling their property. They started moving their restaurants and small businesses out toward the suburbs, even though they didn't know when this was going to happen. Why? They knew that whenever this construction project began, the value of their property would go down dramatically, and it would ensure the demise of their business. They didn't know when this was going to happen, but knowing what was going to happen impacted their present-day life. And the same is true for us, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know the Bible says one day there is a major reconstruction project coming for this entire earth? One day, as we read just a few moments ago, this entire earth is going to be burned up and destroyed, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible says, knowing that this great cataclysmic event is going to occur sometime in the future, that everything we've built our life around is going to be burned up and destroyed, it ought to impact how we live our everyday life. Abraham Lincoln said one time, if you can tell me where we are and where we are headed, I can better tell you what to do and how to do it.
We're off to a good start on what promises to be a fascinating study of biblical prophecy. Remember, my goal is to persuade you through biblical teaching why your eternal future matters today. That's the essence of the Perfect Ending series. It's also the primary focus of my book by the same title. And beginning today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, I'll make sure a copy of my book, Perfect Ending, is sent to your home right away. In recent years, we've seen several Bible teachers make the mistake of predicting or trying to predict the end of the world, going so far as to provide an actual date. The danger of these false predictions is that they discourage us from preparing for the return of Jesus. Plus, as a result of their misguided teaching, it's tempting people to become apathetic, even cynical about Bible prophecy. And yet, when we begin to truly understand God's plan for our future, it's natural to get excited about preparing for His Son's return to earth one day. My book, Perfect Ending, is written with these two key elements in mind. First, to teach you the truth about God's plan. And second, to show you how His plan for the future truly impacts your life every single day. So let me send you a copy of my book, Perfect Ending. It's yours when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. In addition, when you respond today, I'll also include the End Times Illustrated book and my Bible prophecy chart as well. Please be generous as you consider the value of these three exclusive resources. Your gifts accomplish far more than cover the cost of printed materials. Your generous gift is used by God to pierce the darkness of our world with the light of God's Word. Thank you so much for your generosity. David?
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. When you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, We'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress's best-selling book, Perfect Ending, along with the companion book called The End Times Illustrated. To make your request, call 866-999-2965 or go to ptv.org. And when your gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive the complete Perfect Ending teaching series on both CD and DVD. One more time, call 866-999-2965 or visit ptv.org. You could also send your request by mail right to P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. That's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins, inviting you to join us again Tuesday when Dr. Jeffress continues this message called Why Your Future Matters Today, here on Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas.
Imagine waking up to the sight of Alaska's majestic coastline or spotting wildlife from the deck of a luxurious cruise ship.
Experience these unforgettable moments on the Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Relax with us in Alaska, and I guarantee you'll come home spiritually and physically refreshed.
To book your spot on the 2024 Pathway to Victory cruise to Alaska, go to ptv.org. You made it to the end of today's podcast from Pathway to Victory, and we're so glad you're here. Pathway to Victory relies on the generosity of loyal listeners like you to make this podcast possible. One of the most impactful ways you can give is by becoming a Pathway Partner. Your monthly gift will empower Pathway to Victory to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and help others become rooted more firmly in His Word. To become a Pathway Partner, go to ptv.org/donate or follow the link in our show notes. We hope you've been blessed by today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.